And now, it's time for the Score Afternoon Show.
That's a terrible name.
So in this time slot, I guess this is no longer the Parkins and Spiegel Show, because the Parkins and Spiegel Show no longer exists. So we're just kind of, this is Score Afternoons.
I am Danny Parkins.
He's dead to me.
Hanging out with you, Score Afternoons. Score Afternoons is about bringing in anyone and everyone.
That is a delightful lineup of co-hosts that you have over the next couple of weeks here.
I never heard of half of these guys, and the ones I do know are way past their prime.
Most of these guys never had a prime.
The facts are we lost our best player to free agency. Obviously, it's time for some changes.
This guy here is dead.
Cross him off then.
I think Gabe's debut has been spectacular, but
I'm thinking about calling it Spiegel & Company.
Yeah, it's good to have fun with names.
You know what's fun about Spiegel & Company is it sounds a lot like Skibbity-Bobbity, Spiegel & Company.
Spiegel & Company live, presented by Social Furniture.
Sky rockets in flight.
This isn't part of the program.
Afternoon delight.
I'm sorry about this afternoon.
Delight.
No, please. No, please. Everyone be quiet.
Afternoon Delight.
The Score Afternoon Show with
insert host's name here
on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
We are the Starland Vocal Band all week long right here on The Score. Or is it? Anthony Herron in yesterday and today. Along with me, Matt Spiegel. Mark Grody will be in tomorrow. We're going to talk to Caleb Williams in this time slot tomorrow.
Yeah.
Me and Groats very much looking forward to it. Ryan Poles will speak tomorrow as well about the final roster, or the first 53 as delineated in transition, and that seems fair. Going to talk to Nico Horner in a little bit. But Anthony Herron, I'm reading your bio here on the website known as Wikipedia.
I
see an August
27th. Somebody's reading Wikipedia.
I am indeed. I see an August 27th roster removal for Anthony Herron with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Today, I got cut today?
20 years
ago. I thought we had 3 hours. What is this?
No, 2004.
Oh. All right. I thought I was auditioning for something.
You have
20 minutes into the show.
Anthony Herron, the tribe has spoken.
Snuffing torches already.
Snuffing torches at 2:22. Yeah, man, 20 years ago today. 20 years ago today, the Steelers said, we're good.
We'll have to celebrate that, man. That's an anniversary.
I don't know that. Is that worth celebrating? What is that like, man? That's got to be rough. If you were there starting on the 9th of August, and you're hanging out for 18 days, busting your ass, that must have been tough, one would think.
The first time you get cut, it's terrifying. Because, you know, you don't know what the rest of your world holds.
Yeah.
You know, you've been building toward this moment as a young, you know, as a youth sports athlete, as a collegiate athlete, and you get your shot in the pros, and you're really excited about what that future can hold, because you've been working so hard to get to the National Football League. And that first time you get let go, you don't really know what the great beyond looks like. Now, if you get cut, and like my situation, my rookie year, I got cut by Detroit, then came back and got an opportunity to get signed by Green Bay, and I went back to Detroit. And that kind of opened my eyes a little bit to, okay, there are 31 other teams who could potentially sign me, who could potentially pick me up, and other professional football opportunities. So the first time is just absolutely terrifying. Beyond that, it helps.
You know, if you don't mind, let's check back in on this idea on the 20th anniversary a little bit later on.
20th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
Did we get him a cake? We should have. Shane Reardon is back. Chris Tannehill is there. He's Anthony Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel. The Bears cutdowns is the main topic on the course of this show. But coming up next, our Tuesday conversation with the Cubs' Nico Horner. That's next on 670 The Score.
Leaning on the second baseman, number 2, Nico Horner.
Nico Horner, that's so funny.
We drove to the park together. We were listening to Nico. Oh, man, it's funny.
Nico Horner, how are you, man? Keep rocking it, mate.
He's got good hair.
He does.
He's jacked, too.
Yeah, he is.
I'm jealous.
Starting second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
The lead at second by Horner.
Nico is running in the pitch, low and outside, stolen base. Here comes the 3-1 with the bags loaded. Nico takes outside to force in a run. Cubs have scored again and now lead 7-2.
Cubs take the opener here in Pittsburgh. I'll say 18 runs on 21 hits and finish it off 18-8.
Nico Horner with
insert host's name here
on 670 to score.
How fun is that?
Nico Horner appears to be joining us live from PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Right. And he joins us on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. It's Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron here on Score Afternoons along with Nico. You're at PNC. You on the warning track? Where are you, sir?
Yeah, right field wall, right by the 320 sign. Watching the Pirates take some ground balls. Beautiful day. It's a little hot, but nice Pittsburgh day.
That is outstanding. That is a jewel of a ballpark for anybody who drives around the country collecting ballpark experiences. That's top notch. You ever sat in that one as a fan, or have you only been lucky enough to play in it, Nico?
Nope, just here as a player. But I think one of our favorite things as players here is walking to the field. It's always nice when you can do that, walking across the Clemente Bridge and taking in the city views. It's pretty beautiful here.
When you have an offensive explosion, let's call it, like you guys did last night, what are the conversations like in game? What are the conversations like between the rest of you as you feel like you've got an opportunity to really get something cooking and you feel the lineup in the flow like they were?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about that a decent amount this year of, you know, we all benefit when each other have success. And you definitely saw a good example of that yesterday because, you know, it's so much easier for all of us to produce when each other are having great at-bats like that. And I thought it was awesome, just even once the game was out of hand, just the quality of at-bat that continued and the base running and the quality of the contact and just everything like that. It's a testament to the guy's mentality and everything, and it was cool to see.
Is it the kind of thing where, like, you can exhale and enjoy yourself with some relaxation after so many stressful games and stressful days and all that kind of stuff? Hopefully you guys can enjoy that one as it's happening.
Yeah, absolutely. It all matters. Like, every one of those hits guys feel, and you know, getting Ian and Dansby off their feet there at the end of the game, and it all adds up. And cool to see, you know, Luis Vasquez get his first RBI, even if it's off of the position player and things like that. They're all fun and part of the group feeling good together.
So watching PCA on the base paths is ridiculous. What's the dugout chatter for you guys when you're watching Pete run and just not be stopped and look the way he does?
Yeah, I mean, when he walks, you know, someone always yells, like, nice triple or something. Like, it feels like he's going to be, you know, on third. And, you know, no secret, but him and Amaya have been just incredible turning the lineup around and probably been our two best hitters for this entire stretch. And incredible for what that means for our group in this stretch and also for the future of this team. Obviously, two incredibly important players for us to play through the middle of the field, play great defense, and then have that upside offensively that really makes a difference for us as a group.
He got robbed, man. The one time he's been caught stealing was on a rundown play. You know, that's the one time. He was going to break Trey Turner's record. It's 30 steals without getting caught in a single season. I think Pete was going to do that, man. So he got robbed. That ain't right.
It sure feels like it. Yeah, that was it's kind of a unique messed up play, but yeah, until someone throws him out stealing second or something, I'll have that as no cost stealing in my book.
The way that the offense has shown so much life here as of late, obviously, you know, the inconsistencies can be what they are, but are you guys talking to Craig at times where you feel like you've got a beat on the opportunity for some of the additional aggression on the base paths at PCA and others, including yourself, have been able to showcase at times to really get things jump-started?
You're saying as far as, like, how we can take advantage of that as base runners or what?
Yes, and are you talking to Craig about those moments where you feel like that aggression can be something you can take advantage of?
I mean, he's a very player-friendly manager as far as giving us the benefit of the doubt. If we feel good, we feel confident and believe in something to go and be aggressive. And so, he's not stopping anybody.
In terms of Craig, like, the numbers in his Brewers years, they called it Craig Timber. Where, like, the Brewers won, I think it was 58% of their games in September during his time there since 2015. And the rest of the months, they won, like, 52% of their games. And I'm wondering if you've picked up on anything, if it's just the consistency of the style or like consistency of the demeanor. Does he know you guys better by this time of the year? I wonder if there's anything to that where his teams historically have played very well as the season has worn on.
Yeah, I mean, speak to his demeanor. I think that's definitely a big factor. He's not someone to panic. And I think September is often a month when no matter where your team is in the standings, you're getting guys thinking about next year, how their production matters for offseason stuff, and staff wondering about their roles, things like that. Like, that happens in any job. But, you know, the end of the year can be a time when people start getting focused on what's in the future. And I think he does a great job of focusing on the present day and instilling confidence in everybody around him. And that means a lot. So. Yeah, that definitely is a big deal. And then the interesting about the, like you said, getting to know your players, especially in your first year in place and as much roster turnover as we've had, I think just the ability to get our bullpen in a really solid place has been really impressive given all the injuries. And we talked a lot about their consistency here, but yeah, it's been really fun to watch.
When you have the opportunity where right now you're in the midst of a road trip, you're on the road together for a week plus at different stretches during the season, this getting to know you phase that we've talked to you about pretty frequently throughout the season between Craig, some of the pre-existing guys on the roster here, does being on the road together allow more of that versus the times where you're at home, you're sleeping in your own bed, like some of the camaraderie that everyone assumes develops throughout the year, does a road trip allow more of that?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of guys with families and kids that, you know, the time at home really is time at home, and you know, as it should be, but the road is a nice chance to hang out with guys, whether it's on the plane or in the hotel rooms or whatever it may be. We got our fantasy football draft tomorrow night when we get into D.C. and with an off day to follow, so that should be fun.
So where's the fantasy draft? In somebody's hotel room or what tomorrow?
I think there's just some space in the hotel we've got, like, reserved, and yeah, it'll be competitive and a fun time. The flight leading into it, and some last minute research for some, and some people have been on it forever.
Yeah, no, Dansby and Talkman are ready to go. I know that for sure. Where are you? Where's your research right now? You need any help?
You know, I've always never really was one to study a long time ahead of the test. I'm more of a night before guy, so. Yeah, trust my instincts out there, and I don't want to flutter myself too much.
Same commissioner every year that you guys are drafting against each other?
Yeah. So it'll be a good league. I'm excited. I actually got the first pick, so we'll see what I do.
So you're going Caleb Williams, of course. You know,
yeah,
understandably.
The undoubted best player in the NFL.
There you go. He's pandering. Who is the commissioner? Do we know who the commissioner is? I don't know if you've ever told us.
BJ runs basically the Cubs, but he's our behind the scenes everything man who makes this place work, keeps everything afloat, and he's a legend. So yeah, he's in charge.
So yeah, he's got the league on lockdown as well. That's outstanding. So who are among like the teammates? Who is a relatively new friend for you, or who's somebody who you're enjoying hanging with this year or in the second half of this year who didn't, you know, always hang with necessarily?
Yeah. Every year is totally different, and we're lucky to have some consistency now year to year that is a little better than in years past. But yeah, Michael Bush has been awesome. Obviously, he's had an incredible rookie season and hopefully get some acknowledgement rookie of the year stuff. But he's been a great addition to this team socially too. Kind of joke, he's one of the only single guys on the team, so I feel like he has less commitments and he's always down to hang out, which I really appreciate. It's a great quality from a teammate and never shows up to empty-handed, and he's locked in on fantasy and feeling good about the Vikings, so we'll see.
Not walking in empty-handed. I mean, what's the treat du jour that he's usually walking in, or the beverage du jour?
Yeah, he's just a good guest. Like, he's always with a nice Minnesota temperament. I feel like he's always bringing positivity, and he's a great friend.
We said not at the end, where like, is he bake brownies? Is he come over the lasagna, or does he pick up a sixer?
Michael Bush and baked goods. That's every time.
You know what? I got to say, man, this team, there was a while where it was not super fun to watch, And you guys have become a very fun team to watch. I mean, there's still like frustrations, obviously. And Sunday, you're like, man, how could they not sweep the Marlins when the Marlins suck and they took the first two and all of that? But like, so many of the games, like for the most part, if I'm really looking at the last 6 weeks, or the last 8 weeks or whatever, I'm seeing a team that's playing pretty solid defense that runs the bases aggressively. As you mentioned, the bottom of the order is hitting. Bullpen has sorted itself out. The starters are doing their thing. It's like, I don't know how it felt to you during that stretch where it wasn't super fun to watch, but you have rewarded people who have stuck with you in that sense. And I wonder if you can relate to that feeling.
Yeah, I do for sure. And I, you know, like you said, it's no one thing. I think it's through the early parts of the year, we never had stretches where all parts of the team were firing at the same time. And whether that's health or just straight up performance, it always felt like we had the pieces for it and hadn't put it together. But, you know, that's why it's such a long season. And obviously those stretches have put us in a challenging place, but I'm definitely proud of the way the guys have persisted and continue to put like the best version of us out there. And it means a lot. And we're going to continue winning ball games and go from there. Strength of schedule plays a role too, but I'm impressed by the mentality of the guys around here.
And it's hard to zoom out sometimes when the season overall is frustrating, but it kind of bodes well for this core that for the most part isn't going anywhere between now and next year.
Yeah, look, I mean, for us here, like we are focused on this year. We are going to win as many games the rest of the stretch and make noise. And our, you know, the thoughts aren't on the offseason or next year, but we talk about guys like PCA and Miggy and the younger bullpen guys that have thrown well. Like, of course, that stuff matters. Like, you know, this is a team that's not going to be built to compete for wild cards. You know, we're here to win division titles and obviously beyond that. And that should be the standard for everything that we do around here. And so all those things definitely matter towards that.
And knowing that you've got ownership who has funds available, at least part of the conversation we constantly have on this station is whether or not the Cubs are going all in. And, you know, leading into the All-Star break, we had that conversation. Leading into the trade deadline, we had that conversation. Now transactions continue that maybe feel like there's not a full investment and kind of going for what's remaining this season. Is that something you guys are aware of, and how closely you monitor who's in and out of the clubhouse, you know, from sort of one game to the next with transactions?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't not be aware of those things. I think for us, as guys that are around each other every day, the first thing that stands out is just the personal side of it. Obviously, you build relationships with people, and no matter the reasons why teams move on from players or make moves, like, you always think about the person first. And same goes for guys that, you know, you used to play with, or Jay Hay in LA or whatever it is. You know, you want the best for people that, you know, work incredibly hard and put everything they have into this game. And, you know, as far as the direction of this team, that stuff is, you know, other than winning baseball games, is out of our control. And unfortunately, we've had a lot of the younger guys we've called up have produced too. So, you know, we've done a nice job with the guys that have come up, still helping us win the games.
Yeah, you know, props to Drew Smyly. At least from the outside looking in, man, that's a guy who took whatever role he was asked of. It's a dude who can start and has started effectively, but whether it was long or short or late or early or blowout in either direction, that guy has shown up all year long, and that's been impressive.
Yeah, and he wants the ball, and he's taken the ball, you know, 3 or 4 days in April right away when a lot of guys don't even want to throw back-to-backs and a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, he's got a bit of an old-school mentality as far as pitching in that way, but also has continued to develop parts of his game, you know, as he's gotten older, that have kept him in a really great place, not just as another guy in the big leagues, but a guy who's still getting both righties and lefties out, and any team is the better team with him on it.
All right, a couple more things here for Nico Hoerner, who's kind enough to join us from the warning track at beautiful PNC Park in Pittsburgh. Talking to you in the clubhouse the other day about Miguel Amaya, and you said, he's going to be so good. And since you said that, Nico, he's got an OPS of 1.4. He's 12 for his last 24. That's my preferred line of demarcation. People go back to when he's changed the stride and went to the nose stride. I go back to when you said he's going to be so good, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, why is he going to be so good? What's going on with Amaya?
I mean, just the person first. I think it's important to remember how much time he missed in the minor leagues with unfortunate injuries and COVID and just didn't have the playing at the upper levels that I think really is important for guys to play in the big leagues, and especially for catchers. Oh my God, those guys have to handle so much. So for him, you know, I thought what he did last year was incredibly impressive, and then this year as well. And obviously you'd rather see a guy start slow and learn from challenging things and continue to show the best version of themselves like he has. And I just really believe in people that are able to do things like that. And just hasn't played that much at double A or higher yet. And it's an impressive thing that he's putting together.
You've been in your neighborhood for a good chunk of time now. What's been the go-to restaurant for you as you've had some time there this summer?
Beautiful Chicago summer. Yeah. Where are you dining, sir?
I've been cooking a lot more this year. We got a grill. I got a ball right on me right now. Brian Reynolds, Oppo, to the warning track.
That's awesome.
Danucci's is in Lincoln Park, walking distance from my place. Really like that spot. Got a nice outdoor area and great service. But I've been cooking a lot this year, grilling. Go to the farmer's market right by the Lincoln Motel and get a bunch of stuff there on Wednesdays and Saturdays and make some food. And yeah, it's been the go-to.
Yeah, man, that Green City Market is the truth.
Now, you said
it's the best.
You're saying grilling, Nico. I mean, we're talking gas, we're talking charcoal. What kind of grilling you doing?
Yeah, just a basic gas, nothing too fancy. Nothing to write home about, but when you got good ingredients, it makes it easy.
Do you know how many grills your guy Shane, our guy Shane Reardon, do you know how many grills Shane owns? Take a guess.
But does he have the egg, the Traeger, charcoal, the gas? So probably four.
Four is the guess. Are we right about four, Shane?
You're spot on four. So Blackstone Flat Top, Weber Genesis gas, the egg equivalent, the ceramic smoker, and then the Weber kettle. You got to have everything just in case.
That's right. What's been the highlight of this year so far, or this summer?
Dude, I'm just like you, good quality ingredients. And I just I really got into smoking vegetables for smoked salsa. So you just throw a bunch of peppers on the smoker and then blend that up for salsa.
So do you roll those up in the rolling paper before you smoke them, or you just put it right in the pipe?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Speaks. We're trying to get Nico to talk about weed here. Yep, exactly.
The shishito peppers turn out really well from the farmer's market if you ever come across those.
So good. I get them from that one you go to. Yeah, by the bag. Yeah.
Man, you keep it so simple. It's like a little lemon and salt, and it's so good.
And Nico, that what you get at your dispensary, Sushito?
Sushito, yeah. Okay. That, I smoke those. I get them in edible form most of the time now these days. Nico, you guys scored 18 runs last night. Guess how much the Odyssey softball team scored? Guess how many runs they scored last night?
I'm going to guess either something on the extreme end one way or the other. So I'm going to go positive and say 27.
Good for you. No, 18 on the dot. You guys both scored.
Nice.
Guys both scored 18 last night. And fun fact, Shane wasn't there, and they still scored 18. Shows you a little something, in my opinion.
That's right. They probably got the scouting report on the team and put everyone down the right field line, but then everyone was pulling the ball, so helped them out.
And by the way, we've gotten some good intel from both Jameson Taillon and Dansby Swanson that Michael Bush has an extra suitcase that he fills with wine that makes its way onto road trips, and that perhaps is what you mean in terms of empty-handed. For Michael Bush.
It's his rookie duty. He has, I don't know if he's ever contributed to it actually, but he's in charge of it and takes care of it as his child. And you know, there's some stretches of the year that need some good wine with friends. So yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad he's doing a good job on that. Nico, thanks, man. I hope you don't get hit by another Brian Reynolds ball while you're waiting out there.
Yeah. Hopefully he hits it to me in the game though.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. All right, man. Keep it rolling. Thanks, Nico.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Have a good one.
Army, you too. That's Nico Horner from the warning track at PNC Park. That's a good dude right there.
Good dude. Good ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lovely place.
Nice casual convo.
I did see this today. It's kind of hard to wrap your head around. Miguel Amaya has now passed Nico Horner in on-base plus slugging. I think it was Bleacher Nation that tweeted that. So Miguel Amaya had a horrific start to the year. And Nico, who had a pretty solid start to the year for the most part, if memory serves, Miguel has now passed him. Miguel Amaya on a ridiculous hot streak right now.
Between Amaya, PCA, you feeling pretty good about the youngsters there?
I mean, what's interesting is that Amaya was always supposed to be a good hitter. And Nico's right about the uneven minor league experience that he had and the uneven time. But that it's a big change, that stride to no stride, and that's the big change in the way that he's approached it. It makes you wonder whether they need to go out and get a catcher for next year or not. Because you're looking around and like, well, where's the free agent ad? And there's a bunch of free agent articles out there now. Jeff Passan just put out his first piece about this coming free agent class. You got a lot of teams kind of starting to think about that and think from that perspective. Catcher's been the common talking point of where the Cubs need to add somehow, some way. I'm not so sure that they will. There's a AAA catcher named Moises Ballesteros who hits from the left side and is really, really good offensively. So, I mean, you could be looking at a catching tandem next year of Amaya and Ballesteros, and then you're looking around wondering where they're going to add that bat that they still need. I don't know.
I mean, you know, we're talking about them earlier, you know, between Smiley and just cutting a little money just to make sure that they're under the luxury tax. Between now and next season, it would seem to indicate that they're going to be willing to spend money if that's the direction they go. But, you know, having Amaya hit the way he's hit, having PCA hit the way he's hit, it at least gives them fun options. I mean, you should still continue to add pop, should still continue to add depth. But, I mean, to at least have development. We were talking development from early in the season, all through the struggles, and now since the All-Star break, it's good to see some development now. If they finish September in the way that they are, you know, regardless of the postseason, but you're at least in a position now where you can make some decisions from more of a position of strength as opposed to need.
Possibly. And still not dead, even though the roster machinations may lead you to believe that some think they are. Yeah, that was.
Well, what did you think about Craig's reaction to it initially, though? Like just where he almost kind of blew it off, like not wanting to comment on it with Smiley at first? Was that just sort of a...
Nico's reaction?
No. Craig Counsell, when he was initially asked about the Smiley transaction.
Well,
did he seem perturbed? Like, did you read it that way?
Not necessarily. Okay. I think he doesn't want to allow for the spin that was in the question.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we'll talk to a noted Cubs observer and talker with a slanted bent that is very entertaining.
Sounds painful.
A voice that deserves to be on these airwaves other than just the early hours of the morning. We've decided, and we're putting that voice on. And you can pick six of your favorite questions to ask him at 25 minutes after 3. Shane Reardon is back from Greece. Was it a delight, sir? It seems to have been a delight.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe I came back. I mean, I came back for you guys, I guess, and for my dog. Just it'd be expensive to send her over there, but yeah. I can't believe I came back.
Yeah, you don't really want to be back here on a lot of levels, do you?
No, I mean, I do. I totally do. It was a trip of a lifetime, and I could expand it a later date or like. But I mean, I'll put all my favorite pictures on Instagram. People are following me over there. But it was the most.
Is this what it sounded like as you strolled down the cobblestone streets?
Legit, yes. You got like dudes sitting on the sidewalk just playing classical guitar that sounds just like this.
With nylon strings.
Also, lot of accordions. You got people on the sidewalks playing full-on accordions.
Did they walk up to you and say, can I play something for you and your beautiful companion?
No, but they say that from the sidewalk. They try to flag you down, or they've got a kid with them that tries to like bring you over. I mean, it's the most beautiful country I've ever seen. And I've seen four of them.
It's more beautiful than Canada?
I've never seen Canada.
Oh, wow.
No, America, Ireland, and Mexico, and now Greece.
God.
Greece, it took the top.
I thought Canada was a tip-in. Thought that was
definitely
easy.
Would have guessed Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was beautiful. Wow. It was incredible.
That's lovely.
The best week and a half.
Good-looking people. A lot of tan, very attractive humans.
The women, for sure, yeah. Yeah.
You're allowed to say the men were attractive, too.
I mean, some of them, like the thing like carved out of a Greek god, they got, that is 100%.
But some swarthy, hairy, unattractive men as well.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like
in the smaller villages.
Great friends and loved ones out there. Christos the Nestor. Alethos the Nestor.
Yep.
So like your vibe, like the ball cap and big beard, that doesn't stand out around here. Does that stand out in Greece? Is there a lot of that?
Very much so. Okay. They do not have the big beards in Greece.
Okay.
Not at all.
Not at all.
I was being stared at like a circus animal.
I think he's really going to enjoy the next afternoon host, you know? Going to debut either next week or the week after. It's me, Matt Spiegel, Thanasis Antetokounmpo. That's who it is. I think he's really going to enjoy it.
Did we just break some news?
Me and Thanasis. Oh, it's going to be a great
but
show.
But he's on a 10-day contract, and only because his brother's here, too.
Right. And the entire time, Dame Lillard will be off to the side just laughing. Just completely laughing at him. It's either that or Lou Kanellis. We can't decide.
Now, Lou'd be all about this.
Yeah.
He doesn't have enough jobs. He doesn't own enough restaurants. He doesn't have enough TV time.
I think he might have enough jobs.
You think so?
I think so.
All right.
At 670 The Score, it's Spiegs and Ann Heron and Shane and Tanny. When we come back, the subtle changes in your life and mine. Now that Caleb Williams is on the Bears, we'll explain, and we're following the latest on all the roster cuts right here on The Score.
The Bears have been around more than 100 years. They haven't had a whole lot of dominant quarterback play.
Yep.
Does that intimidate you at all?
Whole lot of dominant quarterback play? No, not at all. I don't compare myself to the other guys, that's there or been there. I think I'm my own player, and, I tend to like to, create history and rewrite history.
It's that guy, Weems.
That guy, Weems. 670 The Score is where you are. Spiegs and Anthony Heron on your Score afternoon show. Today, in 1 hour, we'll talk to Chris Emma with the latest on all the Bears' cuts, the roster machinations, and such. That is the vocally talented Anthony Heron right there. How you feel today, sir? You good? Good. Glad I asked. I don't know what's happening.
I love it. I love every second of it. I want it to keep going for as long as possible.
Is he doing DMX?
Yeah, that's why he's barking. This is a DMX music song.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Bring it.
I recognized him doing DMX, even if I didn't recognize the track.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
It's funny because Parkins always used to do his DMX right around this time.
What? Bring it.
Where my dog's at?
Where's Omar?
Dog's love. Everlasting.
Omar's his dog's name, right?
Yeah, you nailed it.
Okay, yeah.
It's dark and hell is hot.
Come on, man.
Obviously, it's going to be a little hotter in hell. No AC. You went there because you did something bad. They're not going to. Obviously, clearly, they won't reward you.
Clearly.
Obviously, stop being greedy.
Shane.
Get to the needy. You're twisted. Your mom's a hoe.
Danny MX. Right here. That's what we got going on. Shane, I don't know if it made it all the way to Greece, but the first promo for Breakfast Ball included him telling the world that his dog's name is Omar.
Did he tell him about the Deshaun Watson thing?
No, he should have. It'll come up. It'll come up. It's a lot of context to try and explain, though. I can't wait to hear how exhausted Craig Carton is from that.
Actually, Tanny's been saying it for a while that people will see it at the airport. It was on at the Munich airport yesterday for my transfer.
No.
It wasn't. It was 7 a.m. Chicago time.
Yeah. Whatever. I thought maybe they'd be big in Munich.
No. Yeah.
talking a lot of football over there in the Munich airport. But Spiegs and Ann Heron, and you know what I noticed today?
What's up?
I noticed one of the subtle changes to your Bears fan existence because we have Caleb Williams here. Today I noticed it. As the steady stream of NFL cuts was hitting my timeline on the old X, the old Twitter, I saw all these quarterback cuts. All these different, Bailey Zappi. Oh, yeah, Bailey Zappi got launched. Absolutely. I use the Parkinson Spiegel account.
Oh.
That's what I do.
Shouldn't it be Score Afternoons now?
It's a good point.
Okay.
It's a good point. They didn't change that.
It's gonna go to it soon. So Spiegs might have to start his own Twitter account. Twitter account.
What?
Yeah, Grody did. Why can't you?
I can.
You could build that massive audience again.
You think so?
I think so.
I just assumed Bigsy was letting you back on Twitter now that Danny was gone.
Oh, that's a good point.
We should put him on today.
Are we allowed?
we're taking Bigsy from the morning show. He's our new football regular.
Is the show account blocked by Bigsy?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I hadn't tried. That's
Tanny. Are you?
I think we have a chance now.
You're not, right, Tanny?
No,
I'm not either.
I'm not, yeah.
Huh.
Let's not make the ask. Yeah, let's not make the ask because then we realize, ooh, maybe it's not just the one guy.
Did you unblock me? Yeah. I once blocked somebody. I once blocked somebody who really was relentless in becoming unblocked, uncomfortably so, until eventually I just had to click that unblock button and move on with life. But, it's another story for another day. But I noticed today one of the subtle changes to my Bears fan existence because Caleb Williams is here. All those quarterbacks were getting released, and I did not care.
Hmm.
It just didn't even faze me. years past, maybe every year, I'd be like, you know what? Maybe that guy would be good for the quarterback room. Maybe there's some upside there. Oh, look at that. The Browns are keeping all four of their quarterbacks. That's interesting. Would have been nice to have, you know, one of those guys possibly in the room. Oh, Malik Willis got traded. This could be a good spot for a restart for Malik Willis. Anything like that. Today I noticed as all those quarterback names were, oh, Nate Sudfeld. Boy, that guy's got some upside. I don't care. I was Jay Cutler at a urinal when it came to reading those names, and I realized that is a product of confidence in the quarterback here in Chicago. That is an unfamiliar feeling and a delightful, subtle change to the Bears fan existence.
I respect that, and I hope you enjoyed it, just even if it was that moment where it just kind of washed over you, like, you know what? Feeling good about where we're at quarterback right now.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's a nice change. So that's the category. The category for conversation is subtle changes to your Bears fan existence because we have Caleb Williams. 312-644-6767. Text it in if you have noticed such things in your football life. Feel free to call if you have as well. Anything come to mind for you, sir? Anthony Herron.
Yeah, I mean, as much respect as I have for this division that I've played in before, and seeing the history, the decades of quarterback dominance that's been there, especially in Green Bay, this is the first time I think I've been in a space where I said, you know what? There's a world where in the years to come, the Bears could end up with the best quarterback going in this division. That feels different. That feels new. It feels fresh versus anything I've really felt about the Bears quarterback room at any point since I can remember cheering for, following, covering the Bears.
So that confidence or that ability to see it.
Yeah.
You can see it long term. Did you ever hit that?
With Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers in this division? No.
How about with Fields? With Fields in the last 3 years, did you have moments? You have moments where you saw it?
With Jordan Love in Green Bay last year, yeah. But, I mean, it's like, okay, Kirk Cousins is in Minnesota. Jared Goff is in Detroit. Justin's going to have to leapfrog a couple of guys. Right now, yes, Jared Goff is still in Detroit. Got a lot of respect for Jared Goff's game. But could I see in the seasons to come here that Caleb could leapfrog everybody else in this division?
Yeah.
I think that possibility exists.
All right, so that's a nice just sort of an existing change in the way that you think about football. Shane Tanney, have you guys noticed anything, a subtle change to your Bears fan existence because Caleb Williams is here?
Sorry, go ahead. Tanney, go ahead.
I asked him what you
said you want to go first. I said, yep, and then you started talking.
It's fun.
I mean, I know we haven't worked together in like 10 days and our rhythm's off.
It's fun.
It really is.
You go ahead. Please. Tanney, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Mine are not interesting. You'll have a better one anyway. I got two small things. One is all you video gamers out there, it's fun to play with the Bears in Madden again. I downloaded that on my vacation. That's a fun time. I'm having some problems with throwing some picks over the middle with Caleb, though. You know, I'm worried about the schedule and in rhythm stuff. Yeah, so I think that's going to be a problem. It's not all an indictment on my gameplay. But also, the idea, if you have a football fan in your life, the idea of getting them a Bears-related present, either for Christmas or Father's Day, Mother's Day, birthdays, just like Bears swag. People are proud to wear their Bears stuff again. You know? So I think that's all a product of Caleb.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because a couple of packages have gone missing from the front desk in my building there in the South Loop. And one of them, there was like on the little message board of all the people in the building, one of them was like, well, this one that did go missing, it was a Bears jersey. Mm. It was a Caleb Williams jersey. So that's a highly desirable item that may have gone missing. So, yeah, there's a little bit more of a buzz about that. Buzz about that. He's a good dude.
Well, he is about it.
Yeah, he's all about it.
I've gotten used to watching football as a Bears fan like a smart football fan would from the offensive and defensive line out, right? At the snap, you watch the lines to determine if it's going to be a run, pass, whatever. That's how you watch football. I found myself ignoring the line and just watching whatever Caleb does with the ball. I am watching the football in a completely different way than I ever have as a Bears fan.
That's interesting.
It's incredible to just be able to focus on.
I think like a Greek, actually. I think the Greeks watch very closely just the quarterback and the path of the football.
Well, you observe one every week on Fox with Lou. Like, you
I'm
see
very
how
close.
He watches football.
Very close to one. Yeah, constantly. I know exactly how they love to watch the game.
And sometimes he watches it with Thanasis, right? up at their place.
In partnership.
Yeah, how does Lou watch football? No, but that, I think that's fair.
It's fun to watch the quarterback take the ball and have trust and faith that he's going to do something responsible with it, and that's the way I've found myself watching him.
Yeah.
It's a fun feeling right now. How quickly will it be dashed?
I don't know, man. But here's the thing. I have not gone to a Bears regular season game in a long time. I was invited to one in early October, the Panthers game, the Bryce Young revenge game. Mm. I was invited to that game.
Normally you get offended and you say no, but this time you're considering it.
I don't never get offended. I always appreciate any sort of invite or anything like that. But like, I could get a press pass and go.
How dare you invite me to a Bears game?
Right. No, but it's like, I always feel like it better serves the listeners and serves the experience to watch on TV like we all do, and that's a better thing. But this time I realized, wait a minute, I want to go and feel what this is like to be at a game where the quarterback is the real deal and see what that theoretical wave of confidence and excitement, man. I mean, I kind of wish I was there at the preseason game when they scored on that final drive of the first half and that place started to go crazy. That looked fun as hell.
Right.
You know? So
a different feeling.
I want to go and feel that experience down there.
Yeah. And to be able to do that in the midst of a stretch of time here where, you know, you got the first half of the season before they get into divisional play also. So maybe there is this on ramp into success early in the year. And I mean, you know, doesn't necessarily mean you can take anything for granted with this Bears squad as young as they are, but to have a quarterback who folks feel like it's on the cusp of something, like there's something that could be special there, it's a fun place to be as an observer, as a fan, as somebody who's passionate about the Bears.
Let's talk to Mike in Rochelle, who dialed the number and is on the score. What's up, Mike? Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks, guys. I say, as a diehard Bear fan, one of my most refreshing feelings is just all the years past, it's always been, well, at least our defense is going to carry us, and, you know, they'll just keep us in the game, and if our offense can be close at the end, you know, we might get lucky on, you know, pick six or 6 points on defense. It's just super refreshing as a Bear fan to actually sit back and see my offense complementing my defense and even our special teams as a weapon, and then also, which I love that now I don't have to worry about my defense carrying me, because you know what? I got confidence that my second string guy could 80-yard drive and put one in the end zone.
Yeah, yeah. So confidence in both those quarterbacks is a thing. A texter pointed out as I was talking about noticing those cuts, those quarterback cuts from around the league, it's as much a reflection on Bajent to know, like, oh, we don't even need a two. I feel good about the two.
Yeah.
You know, feel good about the backup quarterback. I believe that dude can get us through a couple of games if need be. You know? Yeah, no, it's interesting. As texters are getting in at 312-644-6767, it's like there has never been a wider separation for preseason and regular season Bears ticket envy. Yeah, like, you know, having those regular season ticket possibilities is a pretty damn good feeling.
I wonder how the betting lines have changed in that scope of time. Now that people have gotten to lay eyes on Caleb in games for the Bears, seen some flash plays, some highlights, seen this defense look the way they've looked. I wonder how different that outward perception of what the Bears are capable of this year has adjusted just over the last few weeks, with a chance to actually lay eyes on him in a game, in a Bears uniform, and just get a sense for whether or not that the excitement that's there, but the confidence that could be there as well if it's impacted like the betting markets and the way that people view this squad.
Texter says that he finally bought a Bears camo hat just now because he hunts on his buddy's land. He's a Packers fan. But finally, it feels like his buddy's a little bit nervous because he's giving him less crap, who was a great overnight host, I always thought. So that guy is going to wear his Bears camo hat as he hunts. We have a tweet from Brad Biggs that Tanny has grabbed and put in the rundown. Thank you, Chris. The Bears have terminated the contract of fullback Kari Bleisingame as a vested veteran, but the plan is to bring him back. Team is expected to re-sign him on Wednesday for the same amount after it processes an injured reserve mood. So some roster juggling, and KB will stick. That's interesting. We're wondering if he was even going to make the team. Bears is a fullback. I think he topped out at about 16-17% of the snaps last year, and there was no full-time fullback for the last three seasons in Seattle under Shane Waldron. So we wondered whether Kari Blasingame would have a spot here or not. So cut, but expected to come back.
Yeah, and I think that secondary part of the Brad Biggs tweet is important, because just for me, logically in my head, I thought Kari Blasingame was one of the players who I wasn't worried about whether or not he'd make the squad. I thought he was definitely going to make it, because if you don't want a fullback on your team, you don't even need to bring him to camp. He doesn't need to be a part of the offseason program. If it's been determined by Shane Waldron through conversation with Matt Eberflus, nah, my offense doesn't really use a fullback, doesn't want a fullback. I got no use for the guy. You can just cast him off and send him elsewhere. I don't know what the guaranteed money situation is for Kari Blasingame, but you know, if you don't want a fullback, there's no other legitimate purpose that you really need one around for if you're that confident you're not going to use it. So he doesn't strike me as a guy, because of his position, that like earns his way onto the roster during camp. They've either determined that they're going to use a fullback, or they've determined that they're not going to use a fullback, because Blasingame is the best one they have either way. So if you knew you weren't going to use a fullback, you could have gotten rid of him months ago. So I've been confident the whole time Blasingame is going to make the team.
That makes sense. That makes sense intellectually. You know, all position player, skill position cuts lead to Velus Jones Jr. thoughts. We're kind of waiting around here on some of these cuts and what's going to be, wondering if Velus is going to make the team or not. You and I lockstep on thinking that he should not make the team.
Yeah.
Mark Grody in here yesterday thinking that he will make the team. Other Bears writers and experts thinking that he will make the team as well, that there is fondness for him in the coaches' rooms, among other places.
And the fact that Colin Johnson, you know, we were talking about that dichotomy between players who are maybe amongst the actual best 53 versus guys who you just feel better about getting onto the practice squad, and the fact that Colin Johnson was going to hit waivers this morning, then you know that informs the idea that that's one player who has shown more so than Velus has, that I think, all right, if they're willing to waive Colin Johnson, then that's at least one roster spot, one guy that I would view Velus Jones as in direct competition amongst the 53, who, all right, they've made that Colin Johnson decision. That's a good thing for Velus to potentially make this roster.
Taking your calls and your texts on subtle ways that your Bears fan existence has changed because Caleb Williams is here, and several people saying that the skill positions, like we're talking about, not waiting for cutdown day to see if there's some other veteran wide receiver or veteran running back you can add, because you actually feel pretty damn good about the skill position groupings. Allen Robinson got cut today by the Giants. You know, years past, depending on the makeup, I'm sure we'd get the random text or tweet like, hey, should the Bears look into that? Nobody's thinking that that's a good idea right now.
No. I'd like them to have their eyes open for offensive linemen, as other veterans might be out there and have an opportunity from different teams.
Sure.
But wide receiver,
no way.
Feel pretty good about where the Bears are at right now.
Feel good about where they're at. Here's another one. First year of season tickets after being on the waiting list for 15 years, made it into the very last row. Was planning on selling the whole year, but after going to the preseason game and feeling that electricity, I immediately decided to go to the opener. Bear down. So it's interesting.
Yeah. You
know, that's how life is changing for that human. I texted my pals, the Boston boys, as I call them, guys I went to college with, big-time Patriots fans, about like what life was like for them with Brady. Just wanted to ask, what are some of the subtle ways that life was, you know, changed for them while they had him? And one of them said the odd confidence while watching. We knew that every game, regardless of the odds, we had a chance. Never felt that way watching sports for any of my favorite teams, and I doubt I ever will again. So just, that's the dream, right?
I mean, I'm married into a Boston sports family. They are all insufferable. It's just very annoying. From that 20-year stretch of Brady and Patriots dominance to just experience their confidence and their glee over dominating the sport the way that they did. So I look forward to Bears fans being able to be insufferable in that same way.
By the way, you asked, and if it's answered, the Bears to win the NFC North opened at plus 375 and are now at plus 260. So that's quite a drop in odds.
Meaning there's enhanced confidence.
Yes, enhanced confidence. Yeah,
all goes over my head when you say it that
they
way.
They are liking what they see. Yeah. We are staying abreast of all cuts for the Bears' first 53-man roster, and we'll talk to Chris Emma about all of that in detail at the top of the hour. But when we come back, is this Cubs move as unseemly as it seems? A noted Cubs voice makes an appearance post 10 o'clock here on The Score.
Come on now!
Wait a second, Dustin Rhodes!
Stop it!
What are you doing, Dustin Rhodes?
Here he goes!
Give me a break. And then Craig Counsell, that's baseball. Well, that's just baseball.
Oh, we got Dustin Rhodes here.
We'll be right back.
It's about damn time this man made his appearance as a guest right here on the Score Afternoon Show. Spiegs and Anthony Herron with you, keeping tabs on all things Bears roster cuts, but wanted to check in with a Cubs voice after what seems like an unseemly move last night, putting Drew Smyly on waivers available to anyone. And we'll see if he indeed ends up on another team. And joining us right now on the Score Hotline, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book, is our friend Dustin Rhodes from the Fly the W podcast. Good afternoon, good sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good. Did you nap? Do you usually
nap?
No,
never a nap. Never a nap. Wow. No, I went and taught. I went and taught our next bosses over at the Illinois Media School. That's what I do between 10 and 2.
Unbelievable. Well, it's better than listening to Bernsey and Lawrence. Am I right?
I'm going to plead the fifth on that one, Matt. I'm going to stay out of that one right now.
Yeah, I guess Spiegs over at the Illinois Media School, they could benefit from some of your knowledge over there.
Dustin has my number. I'm always available.
There's a downtown campus too. Something. I'm out at O'Hare, so I do the O'Hare campus.
Oh wow, okay.
Downtown campus.
I've been to the other campus, but most of my time has been at the downtown campus.
I mean, this may shock both of you, but that's not why we called Dustin. So Dustin, I wanted to get your thoughts on the Drew Smyly placing on waivers available to anybody. As we do the math on this, it seems like they could save a little under $5 million, which would indeed, if we are to believe one of the salary cap sites, put them under that first level of the competitive balance tax. It seems like the possible straight money dump for a team that is very much alive, frankly, in the pennant race. Your thoughts, sir?
Right, they're very much alive. They're 5.5 out. They've got 30 games to play. They need 88 wins. They might be able to get there. It's 22-8. Public school educated, I think 22-8. But last night, as soon as the game's over, I clicked over to the Sox for a couple of minutes. I heard Steve Stone talking Groundhog Day as the Sox were blowing yet another lead. I went back over to Marquee, caught what the post-game press conference. And all these rumors are flying around Twitter during the game about Drew Smyly. And then, of course, Craig Counsell's asked about it. And it just came off as a little bit terse. Like he was ticked off that somebody would even... I got no comment on that. Now, Craig's job is to win games. And Drew Smyly is a better option than a lot of the guys they've been running out in high leverage situations. And they made a whole bunch of moves this afternoon, which I'm sure you guys have already talked about. The only thing that this would make sense, where it doesn't come as a ugly move as you think about it a little bit, not to have as many knee-jerk reactions, jerk being the key word that I do, is that do you think it's possible that Drew Smyly said to the Cubs, I would like to see if a contender would want me, if somebody that's right there, somebody's not a wild card team, maybe they want his services and he wanted to see if that was a possibility. Maybe they're doing him a solid.
Well, you know, we'll check on that. The moves that you're talking about are Julian Merriweather to the injured list. Keegan Thompson is brought up from the Iowa Cubs, and Jack Neely sent back down to Iowa. Daniel Palencia is here. So Palencia and Keegan Thompson to the bullpen.
I actually mentioned that to Spiegs a little while ago, Dustin. I was wondering if the reaction that we heard post-game from Craig Counsell was something that he interpreted as maybe being a little bit bristly, you know, about whether it's about the question itself or about management. But I was wondering if Spiegs interpreted that more as being about just some frustration with management for the space the Cubs are finding themselves in, because they are starting to find themselves a bit, even though it's still inconsistent. So it sounds like you think, yeah, he's a little bit upset with management.
Right.
His job
is to help them win games, to put the team in a position to win games. I guess Carter Hawkins and Jed Hoyer's job is to save the owner some money while keeping their job and keeping the future brighter, I guess. But again, think, Matt, do you think Drew Smyly's better than the guys that just moved up and moved down? Wouldn't you rather be able to call upon Drew Smyly than Daniel Palencia? I know they're two different pitchers, but wouldn't you rather have Drew Smyly as an option?
Neither of the guys they just called up should be first call, especially against lefties, over Drew
right.
Smyly. No chance. And now that with Mark Leiter gone, I mean, Smyly was the only lefty out there and the only one. The only way it makes sense to me, if you're like actually trying to maintain a level roster here is if Jordan Wicks comes up and assumes that role. And that's something that they believe Jordan Wicks can do as opposed to start in a
decision on him, right? He's had enough. I would think he's had enough practice in the minor leagues. Either he's going to throw again this year or you're going to let him sit and rest and get ready for 2025.
Yeah. I mean, one more thing on Smiley. Matty Lee tweeted a little while ago that if Drew Smiley clears waivers, the Cubs plan to keep him with the team. Other teams have 48 hours to submit a claim, so should know tomorrow. So I don't know. That lends a little credence to the idea that it might have been a Smiley request to try and make his way onto a playoff roster.
Right. If that's how it turns out, okay, sure. But I can understand why Craig Counsell would be upset about that. And maybe this is the first little, is the right word? I know you guys love these kind of things. Kink in the armor. Did I use that one right? no, I didn't use it right.
Okay. I don't think so.
No comment on that.
I mean, if not, I'm sure I'll hear it later on.
Yeah, no, I don't think you did. There's no kink shaming on this show.
I believe it's
a chink in one's armor, but it's scary to say. In these day and times, it's a scary phrase to
maybe
say.
Maybe I was better off saying kink then.
You probably were.
I knew it was something
route.
Like that, but yes. maybe this is something that is going to get in the way of the nice, harmonious relationship that is Jed Carter and Craig Counsell.
I don't know if it's harmonious. I think they tussle a little bit, and that's okay by me, Anthony.
And if Drew Smiley wanted to be placed on be designated for assignment, I mean, why grant him that? Why grant him that if you still feel like he's a piece that can help you try to get into the wild card here? That's the part that I still wouldn't even completely understand. I mean, it's the thought that maybe you'll bring him back and you don't want to, you know, sort of, you know, have a relationship rift between you and one of your relievers. I don't know why he would be able to sort of ask himself out of town if you feel like you're still attempting to do something legit down the stretch here in September. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But if he did ask and you don't grant it and now he's ticked off, do you want that either? And maybe long-term, a veteran pitcher could say, hey, I came to the Cubs because I thought they had a chance. When they didn't have a chance, I asked to leave and they let me. On the flip side, what happened with Hector Neris, veteran pitchers might say, hey, you know what? This is what happens with the Cubs. This is how they deal with things. When things don't go the way things are planned, then they cut you and throw you out to the side. Mm. And then that buyout in the offseason, that $2.5-3 million buyout, now you're not getting that. So that's the opposite side of it. So which way is it?
I think even in that example, if it is Smiley asking out, that still to me is evidence that the Cubs don't feel like they got it this year, which I think most of us agree that they don't got it this year. But internally there within the organization, if they're saying, yeah, we're willing to let a guy walk who's going to help us win games and have a chance in September, even if he's asking out, then that to me is them saying, because if they thought they had a legit chance, why would you let him walk if he's helping you?
That's the thing. These things absolutely can and do send messages. You know, it's interesting because I think of the Yu Darvish trade. I remember talking to somebody in the organization, Dustin, right after that saying, can you please explain this to me? And the first part of the response was, look, we got $58 million off the books. You know, I mean, it's like, so there was no doubt about that. And of course, we think of the Kyle Schwarber non-tender. But there have been other examples of them doing the right thing. They ate Jason Hayward's contract with plenty of money left on that. And to a lesser extent, Trey Mancini's still getting paid this year. Tucker Barnhart still getting paid this year. They didn't bother to try and bring those guys back and force them onto the roster, even though they're getting paid. So if they're capable of doing those kind of moves in the right way as well.
Eating Jason Hayward's contract doesn't prove that they're not trying to unload money right now.
No. But there's examples on both sides. But it's hard to, I don't know. I mean, look, even the Mets did it, right? Even the Mets did it when they pivoted last year to try and make sure they could pivot as much as possible before they again went over this year. So teams do play with these limitations, Dustin.
Yeah, they do. They have to play within their budgets and limitations and all that. It's hard for Cub fans when it is the Cubs are still, I believe, the most expensive baseball experience out there. I mean, how much beer is poured at Wrigley Field on a Friday afternoon at 1:20, right? Between 1:20 and 4 o'clock. I bet it's a lot of money. It's a lot of Budweiser. It's a lot of 312 or whatever else they're serving out there. So, I mean, they have the money. Come on. They're not still suffering from COVID and everything else. They have the money. So I want to believe, as a Cub fan and as somebody who still has a little faith in Tom Ricketts and Jed Hoyer, I want to believe that this is something that Drew Smyly asked for. Mm. I want to believe that tweet that if he clears and nobody else picks him up, hey, come on back and help us out.
Hey, when you and Crawley are talking Cubs on Fly the W, can you at least admit that over these past, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, it's actually been a pretty fun team to watch?
Oh, they've held our interest. There is no doubt about that. There was a point, trying to remember, maybe a month ago, where I thought that was it, that they were absolutely positively done.
Sure.
They keep winning 2 out of 3. They keep winning 2 out of 3. You know, like everybody, you know what I hate though is like they have to win tonight because there's no way they could beat Paul Skeens. I mean, come on. Paul Skeens is really, really good. But I mean, they're going to play tomorrow, right? 11:35, first pitch on the score. You know, an abbreviated Burns, Holmes, and Rahimi. Maybe Layla's not even there tomorrow because it's only a 90-minute show or something. Is it even 90 minutes? It might not even be a 90-minute show. But
well, we'll see. What have they today? We'll have to see what they have today. Dustin, the point is, that's less of that show for you not to listen to when you're teaching at the Illinois School.
On my way to the Illinois Media. Well, it's either Illinois that or tape delay. Or tape delay Greeny hosted by somebody other than Greeny. those are my options.
That's why their show's doing that well. All right, you said it. I didn't. Hey, Justin, thank you, buddy. Nice to talk to you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invite. Take care, guys.
Are you wearing a vest? I didn't look on Zoom. Is he wearing
a vest? No, I have a collared shirt.
Oh, okay. All right.
I do have on. You want, if you didn't, truth be told, I am wearing shorts and flip flops right now, but I'm at home.
Oh,
not at work.
Wait a minute. Wow. That's got to be a violation from what I hear.
We would not.
I'm at home. Yeah. I'm at home. I'm not at school.
Not
I'm
at work.
Back. I'm in Elmhurst. I'm in shorts and flip flops.
Okay. I don't know if we will let you on the air. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Take care.
All right, buddy. That's Dustin Rhodes joining us from the morning show and the Fly the W podcast. It's Spiegs and Anthony Herron staying up to date with everything in terms of Bears cuts. And we'll check in with Chris Emma at the top of the hour, which by then we should have a finality on the first 53. But we interrupted an interesting conversation with Anthony Herron about what it's like, what happened to him 20 years ago today. We'll get back to that next on The Score.
I could see for the first time that Jimmy was a nervous wreck. His mind was going in 8 different directions at once.
I think Maury tells his wife everything.
Maury, him? That's when I knew Jimmy was gonna whack Maury. That's how it happens. That's how fast it takes for a guy to get whacked.
Oh, it's so sad. The following players have been waived by the Chicago Bears. Micah Baskerville, the linebacker. Dude, he picked off a bunch of passes, had a pick six, all of that. Anthony Herron, whatever, Micah Baskerville is gone. That seems that Noah Sewell has made the team, last year's draft pick. I can tell you that. Tight end Brendan Bates, stop me along the way as we chat about these people. It Speaks and Ann Herron here on 670 The Score. Chris M at the top of the hour to give more context on all these names. Brendan Bates is cut. Theo Benedet, who entertained with Karaoke in the debut episode of Hard Knocks.
Very entertaining in that regard, especially the time he spent in his underwear in front of everyone.
But then he got hurt, so he was waived. Jake Curran, the offensive lineman, has been waived. Carl Jones Jr., the linebacker. Who had been impressive as well. Heard Brad Biggs talking about both Baskerville and Carl Jones Jr. as possible deserving players over Noah Sewell. But he makes the team. Leon Jones, the defensive back. Defensive lineman Jamri Croma. Cameron Lyons, the defensive lineman Deshaun Mallory, was waived.
Bolingbrook native, Raider Pride. He will get another opportunity elsewhere. Former Michigan State Spartan, Arizona State Sun Devil. He'll be somewhere.
Paul Mawala, the linebacker. Austin Reed, the quarterback. You think they'll try to sneak Austin Reed onto the practice squad?
For what?
I don't know, man. Got to keep some quarterback on the practice squad.
So put Brett Rippon there.
All right, well, we'll see. Either one, Brett Rippon cut earlier today. Reddy Steward, the defensive back, who had a couple of picks, including a pick six in the preseason.
Very deep secondary.
Does not make the team. Roe Torrence and Corliss Waitman, those are the players who were waived by the Chicago Bears.
Corliss never had a chance. Greatest punter in the history of Western civilization is with the Chicago Bears. Corliss was a placeholder.
Torrey Taylor, by the way, had his international player roster exemption expire. So now he counts on the active list towards the 53-man roster limit. And then the following players have been released. And the difference between being waived and being released, Ant, is?
If you're being released, it is because you are a vested veteran. You can immediately enter free agency. Whereas if you're waived, you're not allowed to immediately be an unrestricted free agent. You have to clear waivers before someone can sign you.
Got you. And then these players released. Kari Bleisingame, the fullback, has been released.
Yeah.
With a chance to be brought back. Steven Carlson, the tight end, has been released.
Deep tight end room. He showed up in a situation where someone was going to have to get hurt. The Bears are going to keep those main three tight ends we've known the whole time.
And then we'd heard earlier in the day about Brett Rypien released. Colin Johnson, the wide receiver, looked early on in camp like he might have a shot. Instead, he was released. Adrian Colbert, the defensive back, released. Aviante Collins, the offensive lineman. Byron Cowart on the defensive line. Tarvarius Moore, the defensive back, released. And Greg Stroman Jr., another member of that very deep secondary. Stroman played some for this team last year and looked pretty good in the preseason as well.
Looked pretty good in the preseason. Looked pretty good in the time he got, the action he got on the field last year as well. It's just a hard, hard defensive back room to be able to break into. Get your time, get your run, and that's where you start to count numbers and you're looking around just thinking, all right, so if this guy's here, that guy's here, they're all playing well, they're all healthy, they cost this much, they've been invested in that much. And it's hard not to play that numbers game in your mind, but you just got to step out there and do the best that you can. And Greg Stroman, he's got good film, so I'm sure he's going to end up somewhere.
The following players were placed on the reserve injured list designated for return. That's Larry Borum, the offensive lineman. So he has to miss, is it six games he has to miss?
Well, Pup is six games, and I'm trying to remember if that is the same now with the other. If physically unable to perform is one list,
right.
Then you also have the injured designated for return list, which is a separate form of IR.
We'll get full clarity on that from our guy, Chris Emma, at the top of the hour.
Four games.
Thank you very much. So four games Larry Borum has to be out for, and then will be designated for possible return after that. And the defensive lineman, Jacob Martin, also on that list. And then this one, Dante Pettis makes the reserve injured list, so that means he's out for the year.
I mean, what did I miss with Dante Pettis? Am I forgetting something catastrophic that happened to him at the end of the preseason?
No, I thought he was going to make this team.
Yeah, I mean, well, Shane's been in Greece. He doesn't know, but...
Pettis was
like, I looked up Shane.
No, man.
Like,
what? No.
Shane's not going to be a source of information here. He's been
Pettis,
out of the country.
He had the two touchdown game with Tyson Bagent hitting him for two. He had a punt return that went backwards, but you know, he's not noted for big time skills as a punt returner, but sure hands as a punt returner. No, as of what I had seen even 12, 13 hours ago, I thought Dante Pettis was injury free and was going to make this roster.
Yeah, that one is certainly curious to me. I don't, because he's another player that, in my opinion, and you know, viewing it somewhat more through the wide receiver lens, because that's where Velus Jones had been spending the majority of his young Bears career. But of course, the running back position being, you know, fairly deep and formidable also. But those are the two position groups, the two meeting rooms. Are you wondering where does Velus Jones fit into that? But Colin Johnson being, you know, being waived and likely headed to the practice squad. Dante Pettis heading to IR. So those are two players that, at least in my mind, I viewed Velus Jones being in direct competition with for roster spots. And I say, yeah, they've performed at a level that would make more sense to keep them than Jones. But as of right now, neither one of them on the 53 for their own respective reasons.
So, I mean, there are some players who this means have made the first 53-man roster. Josh Blackwell, you know, people like that. You know, Khalil Herbert, there was some thought that maybe he was vulnerable. But
was never going to happen.
Was never vulnerable, according to a lot. DeAndre Carter looks like will make this team as a punt returner and a reserve wide receiver. But the headline is the name that you brought up. Velus Jones Jr. has made this team. You know, is there a chance that could change between now and Tuesday? You said Tuesday, that first game check is the one that kind of most people target.
Right.
We'll see, and we'll talk about it with Chris Emmon a little bit. But 20 years ago today, Anthony Heron cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I've been signed and waived a bunch, been cut and released. And back in my playing days, I was not aware that today was one of those anniversaries. So yeah, 20 years. since the Steelers cut me loose. That's the team I was with for the most brief amount of time. They signed me at the start of training camp, released me at the end of training camp, but that was just a camp body situation in Pittsburgh. So it
and
was
you
brief.
Knew that? You knew that at the time?
Knew that going in, yeah. I mean, I've been in Detroit, Green Bay, and Atlanta before that. So I'd gotten vested by that point that Pittsburgh signed me up. But just the mentality, the mindset was at least different going in there into that situation in Pittsburgh where you know, I knew they didn't have any loyalty to me. I knew they didn't have any responsibility, any investment in me at that point. And going in there after I'd bounced around the NFL for a while, I'd even gone to the Arena Football League and come back. But I felt different at that point. Like I mentioned earlier, the first time you get cut is one thing where you haven't been through the ringer yet. When you've been through the ringer, when you've made teams and you've gotten cut by teams and you had other teams sign you and recognize it, yeah, okay, there's other folks out here who recognize I can play the game. I'm auditioning for the entire league, not just for this one team. The first time you cut and you hit waivers and you come back and somebody else says, yeah, we actually think you're really good, then that's a good feeling and it does it provides a little bit of agency to you the next time you're potentially going to go through that process.
Anthony Herron gave Shane Reardon a research project. We will touch on that in the final hour as we are out of here for Cubs baseball close to 5 o'clock. But next, it's Chris Emma with all of the latest on the roster moves that we just brought you. We'll put all of that into context for you here on the afternoon show on 670 The Score. Your texts and phone calls, always welcome and part of the action here on the afternoons on The Score. By the way, baseball coverage on The Score is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Justin Steele and the Cubs going up against the Pittsburgh Pirates later on. But your texts about life with Caleb Williams have been really good. Here's one from Scott in Woodstock. My Bears perspective has become my same feeling I had for the Cubs around 2014. I'm confident we can get rid of the quarterback curse, like the Cubs World Series curse was broken. That's Scott in Woodstock. How about that? Comparing the 2014 Cubs vibes to the 2024 Bears vibes. And this text, enjoyed as a dad, the perception of my boys, my two young boys, actually has changed because they love the dynamics of Justin Fields, and he caused them to really watch the game closely. They thought nothing could be better, but then come along Caleb Williams, and they see how he throws, they see how he plays. They're even beyond excited for the season now, even more so than the Fields era because of the play exhibited already by Caleb. So that is incredible for me. That's pretty cool as a dad that he's got kids that are feeling it as they've been watching Caleb.
Yeah, I like the sounds of that. I mean, it's a city on the whole that is certainly feeling it, that's ready, that's excited about what Caleb has the potential to do here with the Bears. And knowing that the roster around Caleb is in a position to maybe do something big as well helps.
Our staff defensive coordinator is Dave Wanstead, and he was on with the morning show, Mully and Haw, this morning. Is that one of the three that you'd vote for to be removed? Shane, Mully and
Haw. Did he say only three?
I said three or four, That number could rise. I've only been back for half a day so far.
Like, can we not talk about this stuff until Mike Francesa gets here? Let him decide what he wants on the show, okay?
Yeah, but no, for sure, that's one of them. Stop it.
Okay, all right, good. How about that?
That one's fine.
That was okay. All right, cool. Well, here's Coach Wanstead on, as a defensive coordinator, having watched all of training camp, some practices up close with his good buddy Flutes, and of course the games, how he scouts the Bears quarterback.
I think you got to keep him in the pocket. If you're pressuring him, particularly to his right side, you know, he's got the ability. We've seen him make throws to the right and left, but boy, whenever you're rushing them, I'm going to make sure that my left defensive end, or if I'm blitzing, my left outside blitzer, that he is keeping Caleb in the pocket, because the guy is really, really good when he's on the move outside the pocket making big throws. That would be the number one thing. It'll be curious to see, do they try and pressure him, or do they try to cover him? You know, the old NFL way of doing it over the years is you pressure the young, inexperienced quarterbacks and you cover the experienced ones, the good ones. You know, you never blitzed Dan Marino as an example because the ball was coming out so quick, you're wasting your time. You know, you would pressure the young, inexperienced quarterbacks. Caleb falls into that category, but he's light years ahead of where a rookie quarterback would be from a mental approach, from football knowledge, in my opinion. So that's going to be the biggest thing I see, you know, is when they play Tennessee, does Tennessee feel that, one, do they feel they need to blitz because, you know, to get pressure against our offensive line, or – you know, will they just cover pressure? I mean, who knows? That's going to be the big thing, I think, that we have to keep an eye on in that opener.
That's fun to think about. You know, in terms of the blitzing, would he be able to hit all the hot reads and hit folks right away? But what he's saying about keeping him in the pocket, I wonder if some teams are just kind of, you know, they're kind of send pressure, but tell him to kind of be a little careful and try to contain him in the pocket. What would you do?
I mean, each defensive coordinator kind of just has what they're known for. So if you're a blitzing guy, you're going to blitz Caleb because you just like to blitz. That's what you're more comfortable doing. If you're a coverage guy, then you're likely to lay players back. But I tend to think that with a young player, you make them make a quick decision. So I like the idea of pressuring. And, you know, even if you're not a high blitz rate guy, you can move the front just to kind of change the look on them in the front seven and force them to move their feet in the direction that you want them to be moved in. So I'm usually of the mindset that if you got a young QB back there, force him to think fast, then you allow your secondary to take a few chances.
You know, if you just missed the news of the day earlier, the Bears waived a bunch of players. They released a bunch of players, placed some players on reserve injured list designated for return. That includes Larry Borum, who's going to be out for at least the first four games, so not exactly sure who the swing tackle is on that offensive line. If you're one of those people who follows closely on the swing tackles, Velus Jones Jr. made the team. Both of the quarterbacks behind the first two, Brett Rypien, got released, and Austin Reed was waived. So we'll see if either or both are attempted to be put back on the practice squad because they've enjoyed the quarterback room.
Velus Jones Jr. survived this round of cuts. I don't know for sure that he's made the team yet. I'm trying to think through my logical mind. And again, Velus Jones has a lot of physical abilities, and he's fun with the football in his hands. In the end, is he one of the guys that puts you in the best position to win games this season? I feel like there's a configuration of the roster where you could say, there's other guys who makes more sense. But Dante Pettis being hurt, Colin Johnson being hurt, Roschon Johnson missing a bunch of time in the preseason, yeah. All those things help Velus Jones still be on the roster right now.
Yeah, Dante Pettis placed on the reserve injured list, so he's going to be out for the entire season. So you've lost Dante Pettis for the year. And we'll have to see what happens with some of the moves between now and Tuesday, if those moves it indeed will affect Velus Jones Jr. Daniel Hardy made the team. Dominique Robinson made the team. And again, these are all, you know, the first 53. So we'll see if anything happens between now and Tuesday. But yeah, man, it feels like football season. That's for damn sure. But baseball rolls on. And Ian Happ leads off for the Cubs tonight against Jarrett Jones, the very, very good young rookie pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. Everybody in that Cubs lineup had a hit, and everybody in that Cubs lineup scored a run as of last night. Happ, Talkman in right field. Suzuki is the DH. Bellinger at first base as Michael Bush gets a start off. Isak Paredes at third. Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, Pete Crow Armstrong, and Miguel Amaya round out the bottom of that lineup. Anthony, it's been fun with you the last couple days, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, agreed. It's always a blast, man. I'm going to be headed to Iowa City this weekend. I got my first college football broadcast of the season.
What's the game?
The Iowa Hawkeyes. They're going to be hosting Illinois State. So I got that game Saturday on the Big Ten Network at 11 a.m. Central Time. Always fun to go back to Kinnick when I get to call a game there. Turn around going to Canton on Sunday. I got the Black College Hall of Fame Classic on Westwood One. I assume there's a chance that that's on this station. I know we tend to carry a variety of feeds here on the Score and on the Audacity app. I'm sorry.
Odyssey. It's my guy right there.
So who knows? You'll be able to hear me.
I think we became a team today.
One of the affiliates somewhere. I'll be doing that on Sunday evening before I return to our fair city of
Chicago.
Go
back to Greece. You don't like it? Go back to Greece.
What I'm not going to do is use Gulagi on the air. It's just the way my brain works, I can't bring myself. Even it's crossed my mind a couple
Come
of times.
On, Ant.
It's crossed my mind a couple of times. When a producer says things in my ear, I'm like, I got to find a different way to say that. Even if that sounds good, I got to say it differently. Just
now,
because it got said there.
I'm going to find the highest profile game you have this year. Gonna circle that one.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna try to force feed that one into the broadcast.
He's gonna text me.
Are you an ally
Gulagi,
or not? Are you on the team or not?
Say Gulagi right now. Say Gulagi right now.
Say it right now. Right now. One time. One time.
And say kink in the armor. Say kink in the armor, Ant. Bondage.
We do not kick shame.
Bondage. Sex swings.
Thank you so much to our guests on the show. Dustin Rhodes, there was no kink in his armor whatsoever earlier on today.
Did that sound better than the correct version? I don't know.
I think it was actually a good idea.
Okay.
Nico Horner, thank you so much to Nico, who was on the show and was terrific
Nico.
As always. And Chris Emma, our guy from 670 The Score and 670thescore.com with all the Bears cuts. Chris Tannehill makes us sound better than we are each and every day.
Just saying, gonna outlaw those.
It's got to change.
Parkins impressions.
Shane Reardon executively produces the hell out of this program every single day. And Anthony Herron, you've been great. Thank you so much. Me and Mark Brody tomorrow. Caleb Williams is on this show tomorrow.
Caleb Williams.
After the Cubs play. It's Caleb Williams at 4:00. On this show tomorrow, tell a friend
that
or
guy
not.
Wins.
That's him. That's him. He's going to be on the show. We'll play that drop for him. For Anthony Herron, I'm Matt Spiegel. Thanks so much for listening to 670 The Score.
Listen, of course it feels great. I'll be honest with you, I'm exhausted. So, like, I just, you know, I want to go home, put the feet up, drink a beer, and, just, you know, so it feels real good. I'm just proud of them. I really am.